who did the who turn to?
Yo, police!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, police!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie!
And welcome to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie on this Thursday, April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. No bigger fool in the studio.
Than
Paul Lavoie.
Oh.
Brian Springberg, of course. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Heard mostly every Thursday here on 106.3, the voice of the free. And you following the NCAA tournament?
Of course.
How about them UCLA Bruins, man?
Love it. Yep,
Crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, very exciting stuff right
there. Some pretty exciting words this morning on the amateurs on the sports station from 9 to 10. They had Pooh Richardson on.
That's so cool.
UCLA graduate. He was with in the Reggie Miller, you know, they were on the same team together at UCLA. So
back in the day, yeah, of course, I remember.
One of the biggest trash talkers in the league, in the NBA anyway.
With a name like Pooh, you got to be.
Was Reggie Miller.
Oh, Reggie, still yeah. is, yeah.
Yeah, 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 but yeah, it was a fun interview. And speaking of sports, today is opening day.
Ooh, baseball.
Major League Baseball. Baseball been very, very good to Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona Diamondbacks at San Diego Padres. In fact, the D-backs will spend their first 7 games on the road between San Diego and Colorado. So I'm thinking 2-5 by next week.
No, stop.
Well, you haven't seen our pitching, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Bumgardner's the opening day starter?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right.
Bumgardner, ouch.
Yeah, the mad bum. 1:10 p.m. first pitch, and who knows, maybe they'll all surprise us. And is the first regular game of the season over on 980 AM, 94.3 FM in Kingman and Havasu, and 100.5 FM in Laughlin and Bullhead City. D-backs Padres again tomorrow, but it's tomorrow night at 7:10. And then the final four on Saturday, 2 games starting at 1:30.
Yeah.
Who are you pulling for?
Well, no. Oh, 2 games back-to-back. I think tip-off is like 2:15.
Right, the pregame and all that starts at 1:30 Arizona or Pacific time. So who are you pulling for? You like Gonzaga?
So, well, you know, it's not a smart. Here's the thing is that they used to be the small school underdog. Now they're have been a national powerhouse as a basketball team. And watching them play... it's, you know, under whatever cliche you want to fill in or analogy, you know, men and boys, you know, pro and high school.
They do
not look to be in the same category of any team they've played.
Kind of reminds you of mine and your alma maters, right?
So
UNLV in Arizona back in the day.
Yeah. But you're talking U of A, even back then was 35,000 students as opposed to Gonzaga. You know, small schools. So, you know, so I love the small school story. I love the fact that they recruit and they're amazing and that it's, you know, they're very much a team and they're, you know, so, you know, I love that. But by nature, I am, you know, I pull for the underdog. And so since they are by far and away the favorite to win the whole thing and be the only team to go undefeated since Indiana did, under Bobby Knight, whatever, 3 decades ago or, you know, whenever that was. It's been a long time. So there's a great story in that as well. So I fear for UCLA. Great run. Congratulations. But, yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though?
Yeah.
Would be amazing. Yeah. It would be like the... not quite the same level because it's not the final game, but it would be a little reminiscent of Villanova and Georgetown.
So yeah, way back
in the final, right, in 85.
And so, we're rooting for that. We're rooting for not only for basketball rally, but stock market rally.
There's good segue. The man.
Easy. Market up, fairly nicely today, looking at S&P 500 and looking at, broad markets around the world. taking big heart in predominantly the infrastructure bill possibilities. I've been talking about it on the show for some time, saying that, listen, not only was the stimulus package going to add a tremendous amount of liquidity to the markets, but if you can get some form of infrastructure bill through, then obviously that would bode well for corporate America, and the stock market is cautiously kind of embracing that that's going to happen. And the reason I say that is that there's a lot of negotiation to go through. Basically, the battle lines are being drawn, I want to say that they're being drawn from a pragmatic point of view, but political point of view would probably be a better way of describing it. And the reasoning that I have behind that comment is this: is that when we passed the corporate tax cuts and some decent cuts for some individuals as well back effective 2018, it obviously helped stimulate the economy. The problem, as you've heard me say on the show if you've listened, is that we didn't cut any expenses when we did that. So we, by doing that, you're like, great, great conservative fiscal policy, we cut taxes. Yeah, except we increased spending, not kept it the same, not decreased spending to compensate for a lack of revenue or decreased revenue that would be coming in when corporate taxes got cut from 35% to 21%. So while I'm all 100% on board with that, it was not conservative fiscal policy because, again, spending actually went way up. Fast forward to second round of stimulus spending, fast forward to infrastructure spending, and so the whole argument of there's the infrastructure spending bill is not you can argue that if you're going to do it objectively. Just don't substitute words like conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat in your conversation, because it's just a different way of spending money we don't have, no different than between parties, other than it gets spent differently. Although there is a huge argument, obviously, to be made that infrastructure spending is something that this country is in dire need of. And so you can not like it, but at least what you're hearing is, hey, and here's some ways to pay for it, as opposed to just adding more onto the national deficit, which is what happened with the tax cuts. So in a weird way, it's actually a little more responsible to say we're going to increase taxes. I mean, I hate it, you hate it, but at least there's some thought in that manner. What we would all prefer, of course, is that there was cuts in other areas also to compensate for the extra spending that's going to take place.
But weren't you a little surprised when you heard the term, or I don't know if you've heard the term used or not, human infrastructure? I thought this was about physical infrastructure, about bridges and roads and railroads and not nursing homes and schools. I mean, we've already dumped a ton of money into schools and school programs from the previous stimulus plans. Weren't you a little surprised at that term?
I'm not surprised at all, because let's look at it from two ways, I guess. One is politically and one is practically. So politically, obviously, to appeal to the more progressive part of the Democratic Party, you're going to have to politically add those in, no different than Republicans add in things to appeal to the more right parts of when they're, they may or may not really care. They may not believe in it. Believe it or not, they actually think that way, everybody. But they know politically that that's what they got to do to appeal to a constituency.
Right.
They're both the same, of course, in some degree in that way. So it's not surprising from that perspective, but there are some things that I put a question mark by. I'm like, yeah, do we really need that? And then there are things that I'm going to go back to something I've been saying for many, many years, and that's this. From the trending that I've seen between the parties seems to be the Republican Party pretends something that is a huge problem is not a problem. Mm-hmm. And the Democratic Party recognizes the problem, addresses the problem, but does it by spending money.
Well, lately they've both been the same.
And I think, well, but I'm just saying, I think a lot of Americans don't like either. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of us are like, listen, it's obviously, so let's talk about nursing homes and the aging of America. You know, so again, I mean, for a decade, I've been like, listen, if you don't think the aging of our population is going to have a serious economic effect on the health of this country.
Oh, absolutely.
In the next 50 years, you are sadly mistaken. And so you hear nothing coming from the right addressing that, and then the left fully sees it. Okay, here's $283 billion for that. And you're like, is that really the only way to address it? Or, I mean, you know, are there other ways that we can try to have this conversation other than deficit spending? So it's a tough.
But that's kind of my point. Can't private industry, can't the nursing home industry, if you will, do it cheaper than the government using Medicaid money or Medicare money? I mean, it's been proven over and over that the government does not do things cheaply.
Well, no, because I'm not quite sure. So think of it this way. If I don't know if your parents are living or not. Let's say your parents are living.
One is.
Okay. And mom, dad?
My stepmother.
Stepmother,
yeah,
okay.
She raised me.
Stepmom, okay. Mm-hmm. So stepmom, you know, your mom for all intents and purposes, she raised you.
She's 77.
77, okay. Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward 10 years from now, just hypothetically, and I don't know her financial situation, but let's say she's got, you know, Social Security coming in and $20,000 in cash in the bank and $40,000 in old retirement plans or $100,000 in retirement plan money. And she, in 10 years, needs to go into a facility, mm-hmm. which then will average about, what, $8,000-$10,000 a month. Wow. So explain to me how private industry has anything to do with the care of your mother. The answer is they will have zero to do with it. It'll be government subsidized and funded. And so it is, and that's why I actually am on the side of addressing the issue, because I know people potentially, you know, again, hypothetically, like your stepmom in that example, what is the other option? There is no other option. And so government funding has to exist. So the question is, it's almost like, so I love the idea that we're trying to get into it and get ahead of the curve, because I don't care what your political affiliation is,
right.
Your mom and dad is your mom and dad, and you can't take care of them at some point, and where are they going to go? And if they don't have the money to pay for it, and neither do you, who pays for it? You know,
right.
Of course, the taxpayers pay for it.
I guess my point is,
it's coming.
Does it have to be in this bill? Can't that be separate legislation? But that's another argument for another day.
Yeah, that, you know? I
especially with the tax, you know, taxes possibly going up.
But that is infrastructure spending.
While we're trying to initiate an economic recovery and you're increasing taxes, I'm not sure.
Well, let's break away.
There's a lot of people that say that won't work. There are people that say it won't make any difference.
Let's break away from, you know, that, and let's talk about how, unfortunately, our government actually operates now. It's, I think you're seeing a little bit of compromise for the first time in a long time.
I would agree with you on that.
Between, you know, the White House and, you know, Republicans. And then even within the Democratic Party, they're, you know, you get more conservative members. They're forcing more conservative bills than what the rest of the party's doing. So they're kind of bringing it a little closer to center, which is how we've done better in this country historically, is when we got closer to the center with things. But the state of how it operates today is, you win. Once you win, the next day, the other party is raising money to defeat you in midterms and the regular election 4 years later, and you start fundraising the next day yourself. And you've got potentially 2 years to get it done. Mm-hmm. So from a this is what I believe is best for the United States of America, and I got 2 years to get it done. So if I start parceling out this bill separate from this bill, so that's why you see a lot of that now, because unfortunately it's not a, there's no compromise anymore, really, like historically you'd seen, you had seen some between the parties. Now it's cram down what you can as fast as you can before you lose the next cycle, and you don't have the ability to do that. So I do understand it from a political point of view, but I, like I said, I do believe in what that's being addressed, because you've, the other thing that's kind of weird, you can say, does affordable housing really belong in the infrastructure bill, right?
Because human that's a, infrastructure.
That's a huge part. Of, but, well, let's talk about that. So
we could sure use it here.
You know, I mean,
especially workforce housing.
It is a
it's a gigantic problem.
So what is more infrastructure spending related than affordable housing, than places for our elderly to go because there is not enough facilities for them? Certainly, there's plenty of private, but you know that means you can throw around $6,000-$10,000 a month without blinking an eye. Well, okay, but if you don't got that, what facilities are there for that? Which is why you see so many of them. I mean, go back 10 years ago. How many nursing home assisted living facilities were in like Havasu City or Mojave County?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
But I know now.
I can tell you that there's 10 times more 10 years later.
Right.
And that's because
there's
huge money in it. And because there's a huge demand for that as well. And so that's why those. So don't be so quick to be dismissive of it as a concept, because conceptually it is actually what this country needs. Whether or not it's going to be executed as efficiently as we would all like, I would put a big fat question mark next to that.
Yeah, especially in this climate.
You know, I mean, you can go on down the line, but again, I like at least it's being addressed. The best case scenario is rather than no, fat no's from across the board from the Republicans, it's yeah, but here are the changes we demand to take place to make it, you know, perhaps more economically conservative than it would have been otherwise, or maybe a different perspective or something to make it more palatable for what it really needs to be as we go through the line. But at any rate, the market rally that we're seeing, don't, you know, understand that is partially due to that. So if you're somebody who loves seeing these huge numbers in your portfolio, you know, then for the last, you know, I don't know, 11 of the last 12 years, well, you're to some extent okay with infrastructure spending. So we got to take our first break here of the hour here on Sound Advice and Speak Out. You got any thoughts, comments, questions, please feel free. Give me a shout.
All right, perfect. Veterans and First Responders Trading Post. Today, tomorrow, and Saturday, store-wide, if you purchase 20 items, you will get them for $1 each. No fooling.
Where at?
Yeah. Veterans and First Responders Trading Post, 2886 Sweetwater on the south side in Lake Havasu City.
Sweet.
Sweetwater. Must purchase 20 items. Less than 20 items, you get half off. So there you go.
Love it.
All right. That's their April special. No fooling. I was going to pick some Bruno Mars or maybe the best of Britney Spears or Michael Jackson for you.
Yeah, you're trying to get me riled.
No, it's April Fool's Day, dude.
Oh. That was easy.
Yeah, that was too easy. So I picked Pearl Jam instead.
Yeah.
All right, back with more. Here's some Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie. The amazing part of that video, Brian, it's live.
Yeah.
Does that sound just like the studio or what?
Yeah, it is amazing.
These guys bring it, man. Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I was telling How the West Was Won, if you're, you know, our generation-ish. So in 2018, Jimmy Page remastered a live show from 72 called How the West Was Won. If you're a Zeppelin fan and you haven't checked that out, your mind will be blown, because you know, with Zeppelin, it's like you listen to them studio, right, mostly. But when you hear them live, but you hear like Plant and Jimmy Page in their prime and Bonham on drums in their prime.
John Paul Jones,
it's it's like, oh my, I mean, right. Way better than the studio albums.
Right.
Like, way better.
Song remains the same as the pan a little bit for its, it's kind of, I wouldn't say dull, but it wasn't the greatest show they ever did. But, yeah, you're right. They did bring it too.
Check that out if you're a fan, everybody.
Speak Out brought to you by the music fans over at Mojave Mortgage. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, and thanks for your sponsorship, Brian. Sure. Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology. And we stream live at KNTRTalk.com. And as I was pointing out to Luca Zana online today, this morning, you can find the show archives at KNTRTalk.com as well. And back to Brian on this Pearl Jam April Fool's Thursday.
So kind of keeping with the theme of what we were talking about, you know, other things in the infrastructure plan, you know, are good, you know, research and development, you know, job training. Oh, my God. I mean, again, that is a phenomenal thing to be putting money to, everybody. Make no mistake. We have to completely have a, you know, that issue addressed as a country so we do not fall behind. But, you know, by the way, the United States of America, in terms of where we rank in infrastructure, 13, everybody. Not one, not three, not five, not top 10. And obviously going the wrong way.
I believe that. I mean, when you go to Europe and some other countries, continents, that sort of thing, there's a lot of infrastructure invested by many socialist nations. I'm not trying to be political here.
Sure.
It's just, it is what it is, especially
yeah,
when
taxes
it comes,
are 70%.
Especially when it comes to riding what they call the metro and mass transit systems and that sort of thing.
Sure. No.
Airports. There's some spectacular airports in other countries.
So there is, you know, that. And of course, and again, to appeal to the progressive part of the party, and maybe it's something we should be doing in general, pretty big focus on more renewable energies, electrical vehicle credits, and that kind of thing to kind of push things along. To pay for it, at least right now, the proposal is to increase the corporate income tax rate from 21% to 28%. Not a big heartache from this guy, and the reason is, you know, keeping in mind that's, I pay more taxes than whatever it is, 96% of the country. And I say that just to say, listen, this isn't something that's good for me. This is something that I'm weighing net benefit for mm-hmm. the country I love. And so 28% is still 7% less than where we were at 35% during the recovery that took place the 8 years prior, and then even where it was prior to that. So we're still 7% less than the corporate tax rate was, you know, let's say just in recent memory under the Obama administration, keeping in mind that, you know, job growth was better than, you know, under, you know, Trump administration, and that the stock markets were about the same. You know, in other words, everybody was doing pretty well,
mm-hmm.
but there's no question it drove the economy into overdrive and certainly helped a lot of people financially and had some trickle-down effect in terms of jobs by lowering it. But increasing it is not the end-of-days scare that's kind of being spread around, because it's still only halfway to where it was when things were actually going pretty well and trending dramatically down even before that happened. So the thing that I think is in the back of a lot of people's minds is that the tax proposals and hikes may not just stop there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, what point is they're going to, you know, arguably go too far for the economy and for people who are working awfully hard and not real pleased with the percentage of that going back to Uncle Sam, understandably, because now they'll start talking and addressing capital gains probably later in the year, if they get this through, they may be addressing estate taxes. Now, estate taxes right now, if you are worth somewhere less than, I think it's $11,700,000 or so, you don't have an estate tax. And what they're talking about is lowering that down potentially to $3 million. So if you're worth more than $3 million, estate taxes would kick in. But of course, if you're married, you can create a pretty easy trust and double that exemption to $6 million, or currently to about $23 million. So it will upset definitely those who have a great deal of assets. And again, understandably, because if you've got family businesses transitioning, people who started with nothing and worked hard only to say, wait a minute, I've been paying income taxes and capital gains taxes all these years on my assets, and now it's just shifting generations. I got to eat a bigger tax. Mm-hmm. Some decent attorneys and accounting can definitely get around a lot of that legally, but at some point it doesn't. And so the question is, well, is that a net benefit, better thing for the United States because the concentration of wealth has gone too far? For some people, yeah. And for other people, no, not fair. Like most things, it's not as easy as saying one way or the other. But those things keep coming down at some point. Yeah, the tax burden could be way more than is going to be comfortable. And then who knows, 2 years, 4 years from now, it all changes all over again, and we're all, and accountants are shaking their heads.
Right.
And, the good news is, if you're a CPA, you got a job. If you're a lawyer, you got a job, because people are going to be so confused what the heck's going on
right.
from one administration to the next. But it's also ridiculous that's kind of this pendulum swing that we are trying to circumnavigate here as a country. We got to go to our
gotcha.
Next break. We'll be right back here on Sound Advice.
We're going to give away some London Bridge Renaissance Fair and Joust tickets. Do you know they do a real live joust on horses?
Love it.
During this event?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in.
There's a couple people I'd like to see go head-to-head on something like that.
Sure.
Or metal-to-metal. I don't know. What do they call that when you wear the suit of armor?
Pole-to-pole?
Yeah, pole-to-pole. Exactly. These are general admission tickets, adult weekend giveaway. They're called Friday, tomorrow, through Sunday, April 4th. These are free tickets. I've got however many you need. Give us a call, and we're going to give them away with the Mojave Mortgage Beer Pint Glasses, as Brian and I have aptly named them.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
All right, back with more in a moment. Give us a call, 854-KNTR, 854-5687. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll return with Sound Advice in a moment. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, Chagru's Family of Restaurants, also Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, by SunPower, by Esme Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, and by Bobby Lewis and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty. Over 1,000 homes sold and counting. And it's like you were talking about, I can't get that out of my head. You were talking about the real estate market last week. 900 agents and 72 properties.
Or
right?
Whatever it is, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
The Real Estate Power Hour coming up later this month. I think it's the second or third Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like throwing a ham in a piranha pond, Go!
Right.
Well, and it's Easter, so hence the ham
reference.
That
was a pretty good reference. I'll give you that.
Thanks.
All right.
So a couple of bits of FYI. Interesting. Out of the 17.8 million college students who enrolled in the fall of 2020, 41% were male, 59% female. That's interesting.
That's
a pretty big split.
Yeah.
60-40 or so. split men to women
hmm.
pursuing higher education.
Do you have a breakdown of the majors or degrees that they're pursuing?
I don't. That's according to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, whoever they are.
Mm.
Interest rates. The Fed came out March 17th and said really no expectations until raising interest rates until at least 2023, meaning leaving them alone this year, leaving them alone next year. Now, they say that, but it is possible that they are going to anyway if, in fact, the economy overheats. In other words, huge spike in manufacturing numbers coming out of the country last month, which is great, right? But there's also something that could potentially push up inflation. And good news, by the way, if you are working for somebody, bad news if you own the business, I guess, but wages more than likely will start going up because as the jobs picture continues to strengthen and we have a shortage in workers, well, to get them, you're going to pay them, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. It is an issue. I have talked to clients, you know, a lot of my business clients, if you've just started noticing, all of a sudden, there's advertisements for restaurants, servers across the board, construction. Oh my God! I mean, the people, you know, general contractors on their hands and knees, begging to try to get their subs to get more people hired or for them to hire people directly. It is just across industries, across the country right now, a major issue.
So you were talking about the percentage of men to women in universities. And are you a little surprised with the Democratic administration now, you know, taking over for the Republicans that there's not more talk of student loan relief?
They're doing it.
Are they doing it in this bill?
I think it's separate. But
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they did a first wave.
Mm-hmm. That was just a moratorium on payments, right?
And then, no, it was actually student loan forgiveness. It was pretty limited, though, who got it. It was only for a specific loan and making below a specific amount. I don't think it wasn't huge numbers of people who owed, but they just added to that, and there's another one coming out that will provide more relief to others. It's not huge, large
right.
scale. In other words, it's not everybody. You got to make below certain income thresholds. You got to still have certain kinds of loans to be eligible for it. But on a smaller scale, they've added to that provision. So it is happening, just not maybe on the as large a scale as the more progressive elements of the Democratic Party we're hoping for.
There was also talk of low-cost or free associate degrees.
Yeah,
is that still in the picture or not?
Don't know. Yeah, I haven't heard anything mm-hmm. about it. I mean, basically, my assumption is when any administration takes over, they go, okay, here's our wish list, you know, 1 through 100. Let's prioritize them what we want, and then let's prioritize again by what's actually possible, and in you know whatever time frame. So that's how I would do it, I guess. So I assume that's what they're doing. So that's on the list, but it's not, you know, it's not probably top five. It's probably not, you know, top seven. It's in there. But
interesting, because they threw it out there
for sure, kind of
a lot during the campaign.
I
heard about it quite a bit.
Well, you did, but keep in mind who was pushing that, right? In other words, you heard it quite a bit, but that was predominantly coming from the more further left elements, too. Now, Biden
sure.
was saying, yeah, I'm for
the
that.
Sanders wing of the party.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think it was as high on the priority list because, again, you've got, you know, limitations of what you can get done in a certain period of time,
right.
which is good. And so I think they're just trying to check the boxes and prioritize what they think is important for the country. So it is interesting, a statistic that may make some sense, and I don't understand why this is, but it statistically is, I've heard, you know, 3-4 different studies from different perspectives that women are disproportionately displaced from work much more than men during the pandemic.
I would believe that. Because of schooling. Because of kids and
teachers, having to stay home and take care of the
learning.
Children.
Absolutely.
Ah,
hybrid learning.
So maybe there's a correlation between that and why there's that many more going to college now. I don't know in terms of job availability, but I know that is definitely statistically a thing.
Yeah, there were households, from what I was hearing anyway, reports were that they were choosing who's going to stay home.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to temporarily leave their job or leave their job permanently until they find another one until this thing's over?
I'll give you an example. So, I was talking to a client. It was somebody who works with a company, you know, that an investment firm that I do business with. And they were saying, oh, well, so-and-so's not going to be here. He's staying home on paternity leave.
Interesting.
You don't hear that much.
You don't.
It exists.
Yeah.
But. And I was like, so there's an example right there of the other direction where probably the wife has a better job, makes more money. So
how long
the
has that
home.
Been in existence? Was that part of the
state by state?
It wasn't part of the Ivanka Trump family medical leave, maybe?
I don't know if it is or isn't. Uh-huh.
That's really interesting.
I couldn't say. My guess is it's more state by state.
Okay.
In terms of that, so obviously paternity leave is more prevalent. California than it is in Iowa.
I don't think too many companies are going to voluntarily offer paternity leave, though. You never know.
I get it, but the more progressive ones do, and it makes sense though because there's plenty of situations where the wife is the breadwinner, and somebody's got to stay home, so with a newborn, so why not have paternity as much as maternity leave in that case? Although, of course, that's a little counter to culturally what we've always been and, what makes sense, breastfeeding and other things like that. But each to their own, for sure, when it comes to that. Tax filing got extended, everybody, remember. So you'll get another month. So that doesn't mean you should. So that doesn't mean that you still file on May 16th because it's due May 17th. Just because it's been extended a month,
you better do it by April 15th right now.
But if you got
because of the state, Arizona has not complied yet. It's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
But seriously, Brian, it has not come out. The director of Department of Revenue in Arizona has not said that you have that you can now extend your state taxes to May 17th.
Hmm. Interesting.
I know.
Well, I got to go on the assumption that's going to happen.
Let's hope, right?
Yeah. Well, you can imagine that would not, that's not going to hold up in any court. That's not, no one's going to say, yeah, okay, you owe late taxes because you didn't file your Arizona, even though your federal weren't due.
But I think the concern is if you do your taxes through a TurboTax or some sort of online tax portal, the concern is that you might be penalized for filing that late state return.
Well, you have to assume that that'll all be adjusted accordingly.
Well, let's hope.
You have to assume
right.
So.
You ready to take a break?
Sure.
Okay.
That was quick. Did I even make
I told
a point?
You it was going
to
be
like
about...
It's not like I make a point that often, but I feel like I didn't even get around to anything on that, did I?
Yes.
I don't know.
Actually, you did.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. We got to take your last break of the hour here on Sound Advice and Speak Out. We'll try to make a point when we come back in just a few minutes.
We now know there's paternity leave, for example. That's kind of interesting.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Okay. So I'll take it.
Remember Johnny Carson?
Of course.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoie. Sound Advice will continue. Stay with us on Speak Out.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. 5 minutes and counting, Bri.
Go.
There you go.
Go.
That's right.
So New Hampshire. Cutting Edge New Hampshire. So New Hampshire.
The granite state.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Solid.
Or is it live free or die? Anyway.
So has passed legislation to make it legal to have rotable aircraft, better known as a flying car, better known as a personal or taxi drone.
Interesting.
Meaning it's, I mean, you know, I brought this up for years now, right? Uh-huh. Like, I'm like, hey, they're testing, you know, drone taxis and out in the Chinese are, you know, out in the Nevada desert right now. So New Hampshire is stepping up and said, it is now legal to get into a drone and go from A to B. You have to take off from a airstrip, I believe.
Oh.
But, you know, I don't know.
You have to file a flight
plan. What do you do
plan?
With that? I don't know. If you're a thief, man,
right.
you're robbing the liquor
Here's
store, and you get in your thing and you fly away.
Here's what I'm thinking. Can I use my radar detector in it? Number one, it's a car, so I guess anywhere but Virginia you could use a radar detector. Number two, how do the police pursue you when they find
that's
you
what
doing
I'm saying.
Over 100 miles an hour?
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So I don't know. I mean, what did you, that
meet George Jetson?
I don't know what that says about us, that the first thing that came to mind as far as usage goes is crime, but
right, exactly.
Like, oh, okay. Until they get a handle on that, maybe that's the way to go.
Well, it's going to be interesting.
But think of that, though. They actually passed legislation to say, yeah, that's cool. You can do that. That's pretty mind-blowing.
So I found out in 2.0, I can't even ride a side-by-side that's licensed in Arizona on the street in Nevada because they don't recognize side-by-side licensing. But I can fly a car in New Hampshire. I love it.
Yeah.
And you got to love it. This is the USA, man.
But you got to stay in New Hampshire, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. All right.
Go outside of that. If those of you who, you know, always say, how do they pay all these professional athletes? It's obscene, all this money. Well, it's because they generate
the market determines
so much money.
Yeah.
Here's an example. The NFL announced on Thursday an 11-year media deal for the seasons 2023 through 2033 of $113 billion.
For how long?
11 years.
Okay. Okay, so roughly $11 billion a year.
Roughly, yeah. So that's, and a billion is $1,000 million. I'm sorry, a billion is $1,000 million. So if you're like, well, I can't believe you got paid $30 million. Well, now you know.
Well, hopefully they're banking on the fact that
Amazon bought Thursday Night Football.
Because, you know, yeah, Amazon, you can see the games on Amazon Prime.
Thursday Night Football, bought the rights to Thursday Night Football.
But if a pandemic hits again, mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying the coronavirus, just any pandemic.
Anything, fill in the blank.
There goes advertising rates, right?
Sure.
So that's a big gamble by them.
Yeah, I assume they buy insurance for that.
Well, maybe. I would assume.
Yeah.
You could buy insurance for anything, right?
Sure. And give a call, 928-855-9421 for that insurance. Springberg McAndrew Insurance Services.
Nice plug.
Here for all of your NFL pandemic cancellation needs.
Right.
And or your business and your personal cars and houses as well.
And Mike talks about that, Springberg McAndrew Insurance. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Excellent.
Keep in mind, although it is only April and you technically do have 6 weeks ish, more than likely, to do your taxes, that you need to double check what you can still do if you've got the cash to do it to max out your Roth and or your traditional IRAs, your SEP plan if you're individually employed, all for 2020 if you're eligible still. To reduce your tax liability and make sure that you're paying attention to, hey, 2021 looks to be amazing. I need to make sure I've got my money going where it needs to be.
Perfect.
Hey, use sunscreen. Enjoy a beautiful, warm weekend here in Mojave County. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week here on Sound Advice and Speak Out. Be well.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Pastor Chad Garrison coming in along with Sam Scarmarto.